Blog Talk Radio.
Augusto Perez, and Shalom. Today, we continue and come in the topic we've been talking on now for several weeks. Messages from Beyond the Veil. First, we were doing, before that, we were doing Revelations Beyond the Veil, but, you know, we shift gears between the two. Slight difference, but not much. And I got some things I want to share with you today. Very interesting stuff. We're living in very, very interesting times, people. Very dangerous times and very exciting times. Right before the program, I was talking to Steve. There were reported a couple of back-to-back earthquakes, Pacific Ocean, at the dangerous Cascadia subduction zone off the west U.S. coast of the Canada border. The first one was 6.6. That's not a minor earthquake. That's pretty, you know, large. At 11:08 and 32 seconds a.m. And then the other one was at... The other one struck at 11:08, 40 seconds, and magnitude 6.4. And, I mean, it was just bam, bam, one after the other. And the USGS reported both as separate earthquakes, but then changed, and now they're saying it was only one. Interesting. There's no tsunami danger, so that part is good. But this is, you know, these quakes are not the big one, and but this could lead to other ones. And so there are other things happening, and we're just going to have to keep watching. And there's a lot of stuff going on, people, a lot of stuff going on. And and so we have to be prepared for these things, and we have to, you know, we have to trust in the Lord, and at all times have our wits about us. And when this hits the fan, you know, it's it's going to be too late to get, you know, to get right with Jesus. And this storm that is about to hit us, and I can hear the rumbling. I can hear the sound of thunder, distant thunder. It's getting closer and closer, and it's going to bring chaos to the whole world. And out of that chaos, what these people are planning is they're going to usher in the beast and the Antichrist together with a false prophet. We know that. And this is right before the Lord's return. You know, the scripture talks about that. These kind of things happen right before Jesus returns. And so we just cannot afford to trust in technology, to trust in the government, to trust in medicine, to trust in, in doctors, in science, education. We cannot trust in the military to rescue you. You cannot trust in the police even to rescue you. All these foundations are failing, and they're failing fast. And in the book of 1 Corinthians, it says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." And the psalmist, I'm sorry, that was from Psalm 18:2, and it says in Psalm 18:2, it says, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up on a rock." And so anyways, Psalm 27:5, that's another one. So anyway, the Word of God talks about rock as our the Lord as our house of defense. Our secret hiding place is in God's presence. I've talked to you about this before. His presence is our hiding place. He is our hiding place. And so we have to learn how to get there. We have to learn how to get there and stay there. And we have to be able to, you know, to know the secret place of the Most High. And we talked about this last time. It's not hiding in a cabin out there somewhere in the boondocks. No. No, it's not about that. And it's about the secret place of the Most High and under the shadow of the Almighty. And we have to learn how to get there and stay there. And sure, so, you know, I'm going to be talking about some interesting things that have happened, people, and things that I believe are now in full swing. And I wanted to talk to you about that because all of these things are now getting ready to happen. I was sharing some time ago, I shared a little bit of it in one of our programs, but there was a video that a precious sister sent to me, and this is about two young men that had a supernatural experience. I don't know where they're from. It seems like they're from Argentina. And when you watch this thing, it happened on the 18th of June. It happened on the 18th of June when these two young, men had a supernatural experience. And one of them received a message in a language that he did not know. And the other one used Google, translator to translate the message to English or to Spanish in that case. And so I watched this message. I watched this message, and he wrote this, and then later he wrote the message on a piece of paper, and he wrote it in a language that he did not know. He did this with his eyes closed. He fell face forward on his desk. The other, his friend, which was, they were doing this kind of through the internet, and they did this every day, while they're studying and working, and. And so the other guy, his friend, is used to, sometimes he dozes off while he's, while they're talking or while they're studying. But this time he just fell, face down on his desk. And he stayed there for a while, and the other friend was trying to to wake him up, right? And he wouldn't respond. He would not respond. He usually responds. This time he did not respond. He stayed there for a while, and then after a while, the other boy was really now concerned. He was, shaken to maybe something had happened to this to his friend. And then all of a sudden, he sits up and with his eyes closed, and he starts writing on a piece of paper in a language that he didn't know. It seemed Arabic. And he starts writing from the right to the left, which he had never done before, because that's the way that, that's the way these people write. And so he wrote these strange characters on a piece of paper, which, by the way, are very, very, very difficult to write if you do not know the language. And that message that he wrote on a piece of paper, when they translated that later, they translated through the Google Translator, and then they sent it out to someone who speaks Arab, who is an Arab over there in the Middle East, and he concurred that this is exactly what he said in that piece of paper that he wrote. And what he wrote on that piece of paper in an Arabic language, or Persian, some say it was kind of Persian Arabic language, is this: the end is near. The end is near. And then he wrote that like the title. And then he also drew a sun, what looked like a sun, with another star on top of it, above it. And then on the bottom, he wrote another paragraph in the same language. He did this two times, two pieces of paper. And the paragraph that was on the bottom was a little more difficult to translate, but the Google Translator translated some of it, but could not translate all of it. So they had to send it out. They took a picture of it and sent it through the internet to the friend of the father who is in the Middle East. And he concurred that the title is exactly what the Google Translator had translated. And it said, the end is near. And then the bottom paragraph to do with what's going to happen at the end in this season that's coming. And, this bottom paragraph, he took a picture of it and sent it. And basically what he was saying was that the heart, what's coming is going to be at first more emotional than physical. But then he says it's going to be very difficult times, very difficult times. And again, this has been translated both by the Google Translator and a friend of his who is in the Middle East. Afterwards, also after this was posted, other people pitched in, and they wrote. And they wrote and said that was correct. That translation was correct, and this was in Arabic Persian. And what the bottom paragraph said, again, this was written in Arabic language. It said the suffering will be global, and the times of the hard times of the tribulation are will come. And so, I saw that, and I believe that this is a genuine message from the Lord to this young man, through this young man, because there is no way everyone knows in his family he does not speak any of this language, Arab or anything like that. And the fact that, you know, what he's and he kept talking, he spoke it. He said a lot of things in this language, and then he wrote this. And and I'm sharing this with you today because, again, I am not one to share these kinds of things. I am not a sensationalist. I'm going after all this weird stuff out there. But when something like this comes through my desk and it grabs my spirit, like this video did, because I know it's genuine, I know it is from the Lord, I will share it with you. And I'm sharing this with you because most people have no idea of the closeness of the hour that we are, you know, where that we are living. And I have been talking to you about this for a while. And there are things now happening that affecting the climate, affecting the earth. And for those of you out there that are flat earthers, you won't understand this and you probably won't accept it and whatever. But we all know that the earth is a sphere and it has orbits and their planet is orbiting and all these things. It has been proven. The flat earth thing has been debunked many times. Many times. I mean, I can't remember the name of that gal that went around the world in an airplane. She went around the world in an airplane. This happened in the 40s, I think, many years ago. And anyways, I mean, this whole thing has been debunked so many times. But, you know, whatever. If some people want to believe that, fine. You know, go ahead. Knock yourself out. But these things has been proven, and planet Earth is excuse me, and the other planets are orbiting our sun, and this object, which I I've told you many times, Planet X, Nemesis, is coming in an orbital clockwise trajectory. Is coming from under the ecliptic, and then it has passed the ecliptic in 2020. It passed through the ecliptic, and it was behind the sun, and we were not able to see it. It's behind the sun, but now in 2024, we are in July. It's coming up from behind the sun, and now it's beginning to make its way. It has reached perihelion. I think it's what it's called, perihelion, which is the closest distance to planet Earth. That's where it is right now. And then it's making its way down, back down. Of course, you know, when you talk about these things in space, it's up and down is really irrelevant. You know, it's I'm just saying that for your benefit, so you get an idea of what's happening. So if you draw a line across the sun, okay, and the planet's orbiting is an ecliptic. That's called the ecliptic. That is the how the planets orbit. It's an ecliptic. That's called the ecliptic. And so this object, it does not operate that way. It's coming from under. And it's a mini solar system. It's a mini solar system. It's, you got Nemesis, you got the brown dwarf, which is huge. And then you have three major planets orbiting it. And those three major planets, they have also moons. In total, there are seven objects. And orbiting this brown dwarf. The second sun is called the Black Sun, Nemesis. One of those planets is Nibiru or Planet X. Okay? And this object, this planet, is where this Zachariah Sitchin and these people, they say that according to the Sumerians, that is where the Anunnaki live. Well, you can take that or leave it. It doesn't matter, because I believe all these things are fallen angels and demons and Nephilims. But, they call them Anunnaki. That's fine. But this is, they say, where they exist. And that is very possible. I'm not saying that it is a fact. I'm saying it's very possible, because we know that these entities have had, or, they had bases in different planets. They have seen, from photos taken, they have seen strange formations in the moon. They have seen also strange formation in Mars. And there are some rumors and some secret pictures out there, which I haven't been able to vet. I don't think anybody will be able to vet that. Pictures taken about those things in strange artifacts, strange things from Mars and on the moon. And also they have seen the same kind of structures in Antarctica. Okay? And anyways, people have seen it in Google Earth, and the paid version of Google, it's even much better. And so these things are real, and there's no reason why I would doubt that, because if these entities have built, have colonized some of these planets, and even Antarctica, and even this planet, they had bases here before, like Atlantis, which they have found now a lot of structures and ancient structures and buildings underneath the sea near the Bermuda Triangle near Cuba. I have a lot of information on that. They have seen it. I have pictures and videos of it. And it is not too far-fetched to believe that these entities could live in one of those planets orbiting Nemesis. And so, anyways, this is approaching from under the ecliptic. It went through the ecliptic, and now it's on, it reached perihelion, which is the closest distance to the sun, and then it's on its way down to reach perihelion with Earth, which is the closest distance to the Earth. That hasn't happened yet. It's the perihelion to the sun that has happened. And so on its way down, clockwise, it's going to take it a few years to get down to the ecliptic again and get down below the ecliptic, according to Marshall Masters. That is going to happen in 2030. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen in 2030. I'm going to get it. Drinking on them. Are you beginning to get the idea, people, why all this talk about 2030? Are you beginning to understand why these people make this number? They don't just make these numbers up. I believe that this is why they chose 2030. That is supposed to be the time when it's going to hit the fan. And again, this is what Marshall Masters is saying now. Apparently, he has taken some of the photos and the pics that were put out by the Planet X channel. He said one of the white hats released that. Well, that I didn't know that guy was a white hat, but whatever. Anyway. Planet X News, he put that out. I saw it. I saw that pic that was taken from a satellite. And it shows Nemesis, and it shows his entourage. And so all of these objects around Nemesis, and you know, it shows Nemesis. He was crossing the ecliptic back in 2020, crossing the ecliptic, and so, you know, now it's now on its way. It reached perihelion with the sun, and now it's on its way down. And according to Marshall Masters, according to him, he said that his, you know, and he has some astronomers and scientists working, following this this matter. And he has now determined, he said, that they did not know whether this was going to be, this flyby was going to be, you know, what kind. And I have been praying that it was the kind that, you know, happened during the Exodus. And we can still pray for that to be the case. But according to him, that's not going to be the case. It's going to be this scenario that he presented. It's going to be more like what happened during the Genesis 6 flood. And because it's going to be when he crosses on its way back down, when he crosses the ecliptic, and he gets down on the below the ecliptic, it's going to be on the same side as Earth, according to Marshall Masters. During the Exodus, it was on the opposite side of Earth. Therefore, they had some of the signs and some of the, you know, things that we read in the book of Exodus, the plagues. But you know, they have some things happen, but it was not terrible. It was not horrific. This time around, according to what Marshall Masters has been told by the scientists, is going to be like the Genesis 6. So I'm just sharing this with you guys because I see it as my duty to share these things with you as a watchman, as a man of God, all especially with all of you out there that have been so faithful. Many of you have been so faithful, praying for me and taking care of me and writing, and all. God bless you. The reward is going to be great for you. Everything that we have accomplished is because of you. Everything we have accomplished is because of you. And because of the Lord, of course. I give him all the glory. But God uses people like you guys, some of you guys. And so God bless you. But there's going to be a time of rejoicing and a time of rewards being given out. Because everything that happens in this ministry, everything, every soul that gets saved, every person that gets set free, every person that gets filled with the Holy Spirit, every person that finds Jesus, you have a part in it. You have a part in it. And you should rejoice in that, and you should be blessed by that. And so this Nemesis is it's huge. And it's huge. I mean, this thing is huge. And I had a friend of mine. We're not friends anymore. He, you know, we parted ways, but he was a good friend for some years, and he had a friend of his that worked with NASA, and he sent me one of his emails, without giving me the name. He did not share the name, but he did share the email. And this was back in, I think it was in 2012, somewhere around there. And they were following this. They were tracking this object back then. And back then they were saying it was going to take anywhere from 7 to 10 years for it to, you know, make its way to, you know, to us and pass us. And it's taken a little bit longer than they thought, because the 10 years have come on by, and now we are in 2024. But of course we know because we've had Stan Dale, which we want to have again. I want to have him again. I have so many questions I need to ask him. But we talked about this before, and he mentioned that there was something happening with this object that it seems like it would stop, and then it would, you know, stop for a while, and then it would continue, and then it would stop again, and then he said it would continue, and it would slow down, and it would speed up. And he found that very, very puzzling. And so we know that has happened. Maybe it was the hand of the Lord slowing it down, because the time was not ready yet. And so now we see this thing happen. And anyways, that email that astronomer wrote to this friend of mine, ex-friend of mine, said that whenever this object, he said in his email, he said that the scientists and astronomers were not really concerned that much with Nibiru, with Planet X. They were not concerned that much with Planet X. What they were really concerned about was with Nemesis, the brown dwarf. He said that is what they were concerned with. And he said, and he was asked by this ex-friend of mine, he said, is this going to hit the Earth? Is this going to, he said, no, it's not going to hit the Earth, but it's going to come close to Earth. And when it does, it's going to be the kiss of death. And anyway, that was quite a few years ago. And I mean, I have been following this for years, people. I'm one of the few, along with Marshall Masters and a few others, that has been following this subject for years, and I have been much persecuted because of this. Very persecuted because of this, and I have paid the price, and that's okay. That's okay. But anybody that touches this subject is persona non grata to the powers that be, for obvious reasons. And so this situation is, I've been following for many years. I also had another friend of mine, which I don't know much about him anymore, but we kind of went our own ways. But he was involved with a group of people studying this. And he had access to the documentation on this, and the calculations and all that stuff. And I asked him if I could have a copy of that, and he sent it to me. This was again, this was way back there in 2010, 2011, somewhere around there, 2012, and. Anyway, I have been following this since then, and there was a time, for a while, I was able to follow this on Google Sky. And I had this pinpointed with another friend of mine. I had this pinpointed and in Google Sky, where we could go and we could watch it, we could see it. It was there. It was exactly the same. It looked exactly the same as the pictures that this friend of mine has sent me, documenting the approach of Nemesis with his entourage. It looked exactly the same. And so, it's like a brown dwarf. It's a very, very ominous looking. You got a drink. So anyway, this situation here is the nemesis is known by many names. It's known as Herculobus, the destroyer, the frightener, the red planet. It's known by many names. Many names. And so this has been Ferrara, who was another Argentinian scientist. He was following this. I have also seen his documentaries. He was following this. And like I said before, Nemesis has three planets. The names of the three planets are Helion, Arbota, and Nibiru. And each one of those three planets has moons around it orbiting. And so it appears right now that this thing is coming and nobody can stop this. Nobody can stop this. Nothing can stop this. And so we're going to have to, and I'm going to share some of these things that that Marshall is sharing on his information. These things, this red planet has those three, the Nemesis has those three planets orbiting around it, and it's making its way, and nothing can stop what's coming. And he said, according to him, the world leaders know about this, and this is why they are on a rush to do these things that they want to do quickly before 2030. The brown dwarfs are larger than the gas giants like Jupiter, and their mass is huge, very, very huge, 13 to 80 times that of Jupiter. They're also called failed stars. Brown dwarfs are also failed stars. And when it comes to the ecliptic, okay, and it's coming down, it's going up now, reaching perihelion, the closest approach to the sun, and then it's coming on its way down now, and comes down and it crosses the Earth, the ecliptic. It's going to come in the same place where the asteroid belt exists. As you all know, there is an asteroid belt in our solar system made up of fragments and rocks and meteors and debris. That is where and I have talked to you about this, on several occasions. This is where Rahab, the planet, used to be, which was impacted by this object. One time it impacted it and shattered it. It shattered it. And Earth, what is Earth today, is the remains of that planet. And the Earth was placed in a different orbit. I have talked about this many times and explained to you that and if you have missed some of these episodes, I recommend that you go back and listen to them again. Because if you don't listen to all of these messages, you probably will not understand some of the things I'm saying. And you're probably thinking, Augusto, fill in the gaps. Tell us, the details. Well, I have already shared a lot of details about this in other programs. I cannot do this all in one shot. And so I'm telling you to go back, to go back and listen to some of these past programs, Revelations Beyond the Veil, and messages from beyond the veil. I did a lot of talk on that, teachings on that. And when he comes back now through the ecliptic, this object is going to come right through the area where the asteroid belt is. And this is why the asteroid belt is there. And the asteroid belt is stayed in that orbit. It occupies that orbit that Rahab was before. And so the earth was, the Rahab was shattered, and the remains of it is what we know today as earth, where we live. And so the Almighty in the book of Genesis, that is basically, he's talking about how the Almighty took, basically, you know, he brought order out of chaos. This battle, because by the way, Nemesis is God. Nemesis, the Nemesis constellation, and Nibiru, Planet X, this is the battering ram. This is the battering ram of the Most High, the hammer of God. And he has used this in the past to destroy evil and to cleanse evil from the earth. He has done this at least on two occasions. The first time during the flood, and then the second time, he set his people free. The Israelites, he set them free from the yoke of Egypt. So he always, every time this object comes around, and I want you to listen to me closely. Every time this object comes around, it is for the purpose of delivering his people. In the days of Genesis 6, it was to deliver Noah and his people from evil. And he talks about that in Genesis 6 and beyond. And so every time he comes, and then, of course, during the Exodus, he came to deliver his people out of the yoke of Pharaoh in Egypt. And this time around, he's coming to deliver his people out of the yoke of this demon-infested planet that has been taken over by the seed of the devil and by the Satan worshipers and devil worshipers and all kinds of corrupted people in this earth right now that do all kinds of ungodly things. They traffic with children. They take the blood of children for human consumption, for their consumption, as an elixir. And they do all kinds of things, ungodly things, unspeakable things. The Lord is just angered at this, and he's going to destroy these people, and he's going to come back to claim earth back to himself. This time now he's coming with it. He is coming with this, and I talked to you about this not too long ago. He's coming from a distant place. The Bible talks about it. Jesus talked about it. And he's coming with it. The weapons of his indignation, he's coming with it. And this is why, talking about it, I agree with Douglas Elwell. This is the sign of the Son of Man. And this is going to be something incredible, people. And I share this with you so that your hearts be not overburdened and fearful, because there's nothing to fear. And it says, after the tribulation of those days, Jesus says, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Okay? And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And so I've talked about this return of the Most High. Okay? The day of the Lord, is, as is referred to, the Lord's coming, is referred to in all the Bible as a time of great distress. Lightnings and thunders and earthquakes. He appearing very suddenly out of nowhere to judge the earth. And so he's going to be coming and stealthily, suddenly appearing. And so this is exactly how planet X is going to appear. Now you don't see it, and now you do. And so planet X is the only object, is the only event capable of doing all the things that the Bible talks about are going to happen, are going to take place when Messiah returns. Well, Augusto, Messiah, Jesus doesn't need planet X to do what he did. Of course not. He just can snap his fingers and happen, right? However, that's not the way it's going to be. He always uses things like this. He uses things in the natural. And this sign of the Son of Man is going to be preceded by shifts in the orbit of the planets. Shifts in the orbit of the planets and Earth itself, together with a massive meteor showers falling from the heavens. And the Bible talks about that. The book of Revelation, chapter 6. And so this approach of planet X, when it crosses the ecliptic on its way back down, okay, below the ecliptic, it already passed the ecliptic on its way up, on 2020, now it's on its way back down, which will take place, according to Marshall Masters, around 2030. This is going to alter the orbits of the outer planets, and maybe even Earth. And scientists have already noticed that it has been, it has been affecting the orbits of Uranus and Neptune for over a century now. And so these changes in the orbits of the outer planets are going to become more and more pronounced as this object, this Planet X Nibiru system, makes its way through back down through the ecliptic. And so this sign of the Son of Man, before this happens, there's going to be these other things that I mentioned. The shifts in the orbits of the planets, where he says the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Massive meteor showers, where in Revelation 6, it talks about the meteors, asteroids. The Bible calls them stars, but that's what it is. Asteroids comes from the word aster, which is the word used there. And if you go to chapter 6 of Revelation, it tells you that right there. It said, when beheld, he opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And it says, and the stars of heaven fell on the earth, even like a fig tree casts its unripened figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. And the earth, the heavens, departed like a scroll when it's rolled together. And every mountain and island moved out of their places. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the generals, the mighty men, every slave, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, Hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? And so, this situation here that we are mentioning, talking about, this is happening and is going to happen, and we are seeing this take place now. It's going to intensify. When this happens, it's going to be the end of life as we know it. The end of life as we know it. And so we are basically in the process now of the magnetic shift taking place. The magnetic shift has been taking place. The Earth's magnetic pole has been shifting now for some time. And we know that because the runway in airports has been adjusted and has to be adjusted now continually to reflect the changes in the magnetic North Pole. This has been happening. Look it up. You can look it up. Those of you that don't believe me, you can look it up. That the runways in airports, in all airports, have had to be changed, adjusted, because the magnetic north is being shifting continually. I don't have the figures before me, but it's been a lot. And so this, you know, the when the, you know, the tilt on the earth, okay, is what produces seasonal changes. And so the more the earth will tilt, and the earth is tilting right now. I did some programs on this some time back, not too long ago. The more the earth tilts, the more dramatic and increased are going to be the seasonal changes. And so this whole thing is going to be, it's going to be something, folks. It's going to be something. And next time, in the next program, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this, about what the effects of this could be. And it's going to be a doozy. Oh, that's all I can tell you. It's going to be a doozy. And we're going to be experiencing some things, and you know, like I shared at the beginning of the program, we already saw these two big earthquakes there take place in the Cascadian fault there in off the Pacific, the border between Canada and the U.S. So, anyways, we're going to be touching on this a little more as we get along. And I know some people are saying, well, I don't see anything yet, Augusta. Well, you ain't watching. You're not watching. You're not paying attention. You got to take your nose out of the cell, your device. Lift your head up and get your nose out of there for a little bit and go out and smell the roses and meditate before God and listen to some of these things I'm sharing with you. And you're going to start seeing some things. You know, people are, I was sharing with my wife just a couple of days ago, people are zombified. People are zombified. I talk to people and sometimes they ask, I got to read the same question three times. And they look at me like a deer in the headlights. Like, you know, I just got down from a spaceship. It's incredible. But this is where we're at, folks. This is where we're at. Well, time is now come to an end. I do believe that we are headed for some tumultuous times in more ways than one. We got to pray for this country, folks. Got to pray for America. We need America being led by good people when these things happen. And so all I can tell you is say, pray, pray. Prayer changes things. And we have had some people calling us and contacting us. They want to be a part of our intercessory prayer teams. If you feel led to do that, get in touch with me. Our contact page there in our website, theappearance.com. May God bless you. Talk to you next time. This is Augusto Perez saying, Shalom.